Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hello, this is Joey Page, and I present The Joey Page Show, bringing you the best in new and alternative music on Foo Bar Radio every Wednesday between 2 and 4. But you can listen to it whenever you like, because you're obviously not going anywhere. Make sure you stay at home, stay safe. Why not rearrange that kitchen drawer? Or sort through all those clothes that you've got to work out whether you're going to send to the charity shop or wear again at some point. And all these jobs can be done by listening to the huge back catalogue of my shows and all the other great ones on FUBAR. I hope you're staying well. I'm coming to you right now from my evil lair, where I'm working on loads of new ideas for the show and keeping my eye out for all the great new music that's going on. Stay safe. Stay safe, all you cool cats and kittens, and listen to FUBAR Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
So Robbie's left, and we are now joined by the lovely Saunders. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. Thank
you. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Hey. How are you?
Just clap myself.
You can do that. You can do that. It's modest.
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm good. How about you guys?
We're all right. I mean, the studio gets a bit warm.
Yeah. It's a bit rank, isn't it?
Yeah. Rank's not a way to describe a studio. You've got to big it up.
No, I just get a bit rank.
Welcome to the Rank Studio.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy yourself.
If there's any guests out there that want to come in the future, it's really rank. So, Saundy, tell us a bit about you. What do you do, mate? Because you make the old YouTube stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I make the old YouTube stuff. This is such a difficult question. It should be the easiest question, but it just isn't.
I couldn't define your channel either. Like, well, I was thinking of an angle to go at here for this chat, and I was like, he travels. He likes football. I introduce you as a football enthusiast.
I wouldn't class myself as one.
No, you're not a professional one.
No. The sort of business spiel is travel / lifestyle. Because that's what okay. I think it's because it's easier for me to define it because I know what I'm doing next.
Right.
But if you look back at it, you'd be like, hang on a minute, where's all the lifestyle stuff?
But surely everything's lifestyle.
That's the idea, hopefully. Mm. Yeah.
Zoella does lifestyle. Lifestyle makeup.
Does she?
Lifestyle makeup.
Maybe. That's in your life.
Well, everything's
good. And she's got a style.
How would you define yourself?
Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm banned now, aren't I? Skint!
What is that about? Is that still
They put me on an embargo, so I couldn't upload for 6 months, but they've taken it off now, and my channel went from copyright strikes to good standing. So
oh, good.
I'm a good lad now.
That was utterly ridiculous, that
yeah,
whole thing.
Yeah, it was crazy. But more of that coming up.
No, you can talk about it now if you want. Have they settled it?
Well,
settled it out of court.
I didn't really, I was saying to Tom, I didn't know whether I'd broken the law or not by doing that video. Mm. And then, people going, oh, it's fair use. And then I said to Tom, Robbie, who we had on, is he still out there?
I don't know where he is. Gone to the pub.
Robbie said it was fair use, and you said it was fair use.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if Robbie and Saunders have said it's fair use, then it's got to be fair use.
It is fair use. That's the problem with it is, though, that when someone that owns the content complains, YouTube have got this sort of thing where they have to react to it.
Oh, right.
So it's because the owner of the content is saying something, they have to sort of maybe look into it more than they probably would. But in your case, it is 100% fair use because you're parodying it. That's why they made that rule, people could parody stuff.
The strange thing, because it was parody in a parody.
True. Mm.
So it's
very true.
Paradox.
Yeah. Because if that was the argument, how could anyone use any video that has any other clip from a video they don't own in it?
Yeah.
Which
true.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Completely.
If I did with O-Town.
You did, yeah, you did. But
did you get a copyright?
Not yet. So
you're actively asking for a copyright.
I really want O-Town to get in touch.
No, when they did it, I didn't get worried or anything. I thought, I'll sort this out. And they did.
It's actually kind of stupid on their part because if it's only going to do favours for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I noticed people in the comments picked it up quite quickly.
Yeah.
They're only going to direct people to their channel.
Exactly.
So they've just made a right old cock up.
The person who did the copyright strike, who filed the strike, they retracted it, and then they sent me an email saying, when the video inevitably goes back up, can I put their link in the description? Which I would have done anyway.
Yeah.
But they said that they commented on the video saying that, and I didn't do it. But the thing was, I uploaded the video. I was out for the next couple of hours. I came back and I already had the strike. So it was like, when I emailed and said, well, if you'd have just asked me, I'd have done it. They went, well, we did 2 hours ago. I was like, I don't live on that video page now. But they said, oh, the video's going to go back up. Can you put our link in it? And I said, yeah, of course. And then obviously I've missed like that big chunk of views that I would inevitably get in the first few days now. So the video's just going to sit on my channel and not look very good. So I'm just like, I've just removed the video now.
You got rid of it?
Yeah, they put it back up and I've just taken it down. But they removed it from Facebook as well.
Utter rubbish. I was with Samira, we watched it together, and I haven't actually cried with laughter like that for a long time.
I was thinking though, because you would have had to watch that video and then go back and then turn your camera on.
No, Samira, she filmed me watching it.
I
was laughing so hard.
Were filming it.
She got her phone out because she thought it was so funny that I was like just pissing myself.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
She filmed me and then sent it to me, and I was like, I'll send it to Jack.
Nice one. So, where's your next travel then? You say you're all over the place, aren't you?
Well, yeah, last year was pretty mental. I was barely in the country from like May to December.
Right.
But now, like, it's sort of calmed down a bit, but hopefully around about the summertime it will start kicking off and being like it was last year.
So you ain't got any, like...
No plans, just ideas. So no, nothing in concrete, just sort of places that I want to go and things that I want to do there. Like nice. Japan.
Yeah.
Japan's big on the list.
A lot of it based around like seeing different football matches, big derbies.
So with like the work aspect side of it, yeah. But with like the personal like YouTube travel side, I just want to do stuff that some like my bucket list.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice, that's cool. And now it's time for a little West Ham quiz that my friend Nozza here has developed.
I've called it the Hammerhead to Head.
I like it.
Would have been twice as good if you didn't start and fuck it up, but that's...
because Will wrote it wrong on the sheet, so I read it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Well, Hammer to Hammerhead is what he put.
I don't know. I'll just get it.
There's at least a mistake from you every week.
And you.
Every week.
You stink as well.
You're P45 and
your
this pyro is getting closer and closer.
Your breath stinks.
Well, that's not helping your cause. Right, so me and Saunders are obviously big West Ham fans.
Indeed, you are.
Saunders, you're a season ticket holder, you lucky bugger.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. The best season to have it so far.
Definitely. Well, is it the only season you've had it, or...?
Yeah. We've never had them before.
Oh, lovely. You picked
a
good one.
Yeah.
You
picked a good one. So, in true Hammer style, we're going to go head-to-head and see how many questions are there?
There's 10, and then there's a tiebreaker if it comes to that.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Sweet.
If it comes to it.
Okay.
Cool.
I don't think it will, because my knowledge pre-2009-10 is awful.
Okay.
Oh. You get into the Hammers a bit late, did you?
I did, yeah. But football in general, late.
Oh, really?
I'm embarrassed to say, yeah.
Say, don't be embarrassed, mate.
I think the first question's the hardest one.
Tom had a 3-year gap from football, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah, I turned a bit.
You have a hiatus from football.
It happened to be when Newcastle were relegated. I think it was a couple of seasons before they were. But when I got back into it, my friend supported Villa, and it's the first game of the season, Newcastle Villa. And he's like, do you want to watch it? Thinking we get destroyed.
Was it 5-0?
Andy Carroll got a hat trick, and I was like, I love football again.
That was it.
And now look at me.
Yeah, Carroll does that.
He has that effect.
He makes you fall back in love with football. Does Andy Carroll.
It's the first question, guys.
Yeah.
On the Hammer head to head.
Cool.
That's nice.
What is the all time top goal scorer for West Ham?
All time.
All time ever or all time
ever?
Right, okay. Are we going through question one by one or are we?
No, let's do the answers now.
Alright.
Okay.
Saunders.
Okay, so we're doing
questions now, are we?
No, do answers now, yeah.
Okay, so if you're talking about the Premier League,
I said all time.
Okay, all time ever. I mean, Billy Bonds, maybe?
No.
I've gone Frank McAvenny.
No. Vic Watson.
Vic Watson?
Heard of him?
Ooh.
Do you know an interesting one? Do you know who is the all time West Ham Premier League goal scorer?
Defoe?
Carlton Cole.
Really?
Yeah. I think he played the most games, so it makes sense.
Wow, how many has he scored?
Luckily, it's an embarrassingly low amount.
Luckily, that's not a question on the quiz.
Right.
Sorry.
It's not.
It gets like this.
Number two. It gets like this. Number two. Name all four stands at Upton Park.
This is controversial because they change based on the sponsor. So currently.
Tom, where are you going from?
Currently.
From this season.
Yeah, I think so. Depends when this website was updated.
Should I get my laptop?
No, I think you're okay.
Okay.
Right, I've got mine.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Saunders, what's
yours? Up at six.
Well, there's a...
You're
done?
Yeah, I've done, yeah.
Cool.
Done. Okay, so there's East Stand and West Stand, but West Stand's also known as the sponsor stand, so Betfair Stand currently. Then there's a Trevor Brooking and Bobby Moore.
Okay. I've got... Alpari stand?
Yeah, that was last season.
Okay.
Alpari FX Trading, we're not our sponsors anymore.
So that's 4 points for you.
I'm going to be honest, I got East,
North, South,
Bobby Moore, Trevor Brooken, and I put Alpari stand.
Yeah, so no, that's wrong because it's last season. So you got three. That's my Ready?
Right.
Next question, number three?
Yeah, go on.
The top goal scorer last season.
Last season. Top goal scorer.
I'll have a little think of that.
I think I've got one.
John Saunders.
Diafra Sakho.
Yeah, I genuinely put an S, Sakho.
Number four.
This is quite a laddie question. It depends on the laddie.
Oh, God, dapper laughs.
How much is a Carlsberg at Upton Park?
Oh.
A bottle of Carlsberg, how much?
So, does you drink much when you go to the game?
I don't, you know. Because I often go meet my dad and my brothers for a pint before the game. And we always have like a thing. We basically run to kick off every game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We could easily change it, which is less 15 minutes later, but we never do. We always have to run.
A bit of tension.
It's part of the magic.
I've gone for £3.90.
I've gone £4.50.
In London, Jack, you're having a laugh.
It's £4.
Oh.
So,
Jack wins.
Jack, you'll get the point because you're closer.
Oh, thank you.
Quite reasonable.
This one's a good one.
What am I like?
But this one might be a bit controversial because a couple websites are differently. But
good question.
but capacity of Upton Park. There'll be a bonus point if you get it exactly right. Closest 1,000 we'll go for.
Okay.
Saunders?
32,370.
Yeah.
Oh, I went for 34,500.
It's
35,000.
Oh,
and 16.
Oh, okay. Do I get a point?
Yeah, you're closest.
Thank you.
What are these points worth? What's each question worth?
Prizes.
Prizes.
Great.
And that's all you need to know.
I think they're all worth one, but the stands
one. One each.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Just so we're clear. I think, Tom, are we clear on that? You're right. Your face looks a bit puzzled.
Just because my question number six. I think I've just put the answer and not the question of it.
That's fine. Maybe the game is, what's the question?
No, I think it's this. If it's not, then... Who was the first team that West Ham played this season?
Got it.
I've got it from what the answers is.
Yeah.
Was it at home or away?
Just the first game of the season.
Arsenal.
Arsenal away.
That is right.
Okay, that's right. I've got Watford on here.
What
was Watford about?
We played Watford about 5 weeks into the season. We're playing them again in 2 weeks.
Maybe
that was your question. Yeah. What game did you play five weeks into the season?
And you've got again in 2 weeks' time.
First goal scorer this season.
Ooh. First goal scored?
Goal scorer for you this season.
In the Premier League?
Yep.
Cool.
You know your information for that question. You didn't get it from the Watford answer, did you?
No, first goal scorer this season.
No, I know, but what game are you getting it from? I'm just checking, Tom.
Maybe you should just...
I'm stuck between two.
Yeah, I am.
Jack, what are you going for?
I'm pretty sure he scored the second one. I've gone for Kouyaté.
I've gone for Dimitri Payet.
It's Kouyaté.
Oh, Jack Dean!
Dimitri Payet got the assist, I think.
He did assist. Yeah. He did get the assist. I remember seeing that. What did Billage play in his prog rock band? What did Billage play in
That's a good
prog
question,
rock
Tom.
Band?
Anyone like prog rock?
I think I know the answer.
Go on.
Was he a bassist?
That's what you put as well.
Yeah.
Guitarist.
Well, equally. Guitarist, bassist.
Yeah, no.
Bass guitarist.
We send the points here, Saunders.
I saw a music video they did as well.
And he did?
The singer's proper like...
Is it the one where they're on like a rooftop?
Yeah.
Great. Croatian metal at its finest.
Nice. That's a niche, isn't it?
West Ham have a few nicknames.
Yep.
The Hammers, the Irons. Can you name any more? But whichever amount you get, which is correct, you'll get points for them. Can you name any more nicknames other than the Hammers and the Irons?
The Bottlers.
Mug. Coming from you.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you in the playoffs at all, mate?
2011, semi-final. Sit down a lot, yeah.
You just making these up, Jack?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
I've got two, definitely, but I'm trying to think if there's any, like...
Go on, Saunders.
The two I've got are Cockney Boys.
Correct.
And Claret and Blue Army.
That's not on my list, but that's probably...
It's in the song.
I've got Claret and Blue Army.
All right.
Go on, give us a point.
I'll give you a point.
Yeah,
thank you,
mate. For that.
Yeah.
And then there was the Academy. The Academy of Football.
That's more of our slogan.
It says, it says on Wikipedia for West Ham. So
it's not like we go, hey, Academy of Football!
Go on, you Academy of Football!
take it out with your club, mate.
I went for I went for East Londoners and Clarets.
That's like Pro Evo names, though.
Yeah.
East London Clarets.
Right, so I got a point
for number 10.
Yeah.
I got 2 points, right? Cockney boys, yeah?
Yeah, 2 points.
Ooh.
Definitely got those points. So this one, who had the higher winning percentage out of Avram Grant and Alan Kirbishley?
Oh, Tom, great question.
Very specific.
Alan Kirbishley, where is he now?
Where are you now?
I don't think he's doing much.
This is a complete guess, but I've gone with a sort of like visually educated guess.
Go on. Mm-hmm.
Because Avram Grant used to just throw his notes at the pitch all the time. Mm. So that's probably a season not going too well. So I'm going with Alan Kirbishley.
I went Kirbishley because I think we were battling relegation when we was Avram.
It was the Tevez and Mascherano team.
Kirbishley was 39% and Avram Grant was 31%.
Oh!
I mean, both are awful.
Nice.
I was going for Zola, but Zola was dog shit.
Was it? Terrible,
yeah.
Was he wank?
He was absolutely
little wanky.
Right, I got... Do you want to know how many I got?
Do you want to do the bonus one just to give...
Yeah, go on.
I need it, I think.
How many own goals has Winston Reid scored for West Ham?
Tom, these questions are getting better by the quiz.
I couldn't think of anything. I was last night in the office, I can't think of anything, but...
I'm going to change that.
I think it's been a strong quiz.
Thank you, William. Thank you very much.
So. I'm surprised none of the answers have actually included Paolo Di Canio.
I avoided him.
I'm gonna jump on the trick question ship and say none.
Oh, what about you? All aboard.
What about you?
Originally, I went for 4 and then I changed it and went 3.
It's 2, and that's actually the joint highest own goal scored for West Ham.
Really?
Yeah, Collins 2. There's loads of people who have 2, but no one's ever scored more than 2 own goals.
Wow. Fingers crossed for the weekend.
All to play for, yeah.
So, let's count up your answers, guys.
Is that no points or 1 point for me as
no
I'm
points,
closest?
No points.
I'm fucking closer, you knob.
Yeah, but you're not right, mate.
Alright.
I got 9.
I got 10.
Oh!
Pretty papas in the air. I should have got that Kehai question. I'm furious at myself.
Who was the other one who scored in that Arsenal game?
Cresswell?
No.
Was it when Thingy was having a stinker, wasn't it? Petr Cech.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for his first game. Yeah.
First game, wasn't it?
I can't remember who that was now.
Maybe it was Watford. I don't know.
Maybe it was a gala.
Right, so I just want to say big thanks to Saunders for coming in.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
Cheers for coming on.
Thanks, mate.
We will go for a beer in 10 minutes, mate.
Perfect.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
We've got a very special guest who's been on the station, I hear, before.
Loads.
Sort of stepped up. And like,
we did a takeover.
Helped take the reins.
A brilliant takeover as well, might I add.
So good, Natalie had to have you back.
Yeah, had to.
Because she thought that we would get along, which is an insult to you, really. But it's Jack Fowler, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And for those that don't know the name Jack Fowler immediately, Love Island 2018.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Very popular.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I was very lucky actually to come out with that kind of response. Because some people are a little bit...
No, of course, yeah. There were ups and downs, weren't there?
Yeah, man, but that's like anything.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Like anything. But yeah, I was able to kind of push on and win another show as well, Celebs Go Dating.
Yeah.
Where I went up in the world with my dating skills.
Yeah.
But that was fun. That was actually a different type of filming, which was also quite jokes.
Yeah. So was it a lot more kind of... Would you say was it a lot more maybe scripted than Love Island?
I mean, Love Island
was a lot more takes or something.
Love Island, the cameras are in the walls,
yeah.
So you don't know what's being filmed.
That's true.
You're just there living. Whereas Celebs Go Dating, it was very obvious that the cameras were right there because you're trying to have a date and there's a camera lens at your face.
Yeah,
but you could say or do what you wanted to do on the date. So.
But is it kind of hard with, like you said, a fucking 4K camera to the left of you? You're trying to whisper sweet nothings.
You know what I'm saying?
And you've got Gordon sweating. Yeah. Carbon fibre telling you about how when he moves and stuff, he can still stay. Did he have one of them harness things?
I love
them.
They do, you know.
They're brilliant.
I think they're wicked.
Yeah, I think they're really sick. They always tell you about that, though, the cameraman.
Yeah.
You know? And you'll have seen like 1,000,001 cameras by now, but they'll always kind of tell you about how good theirs is. It looks like Gordon's from last week's. But you are here, and we do thank you for coming
all
through.
Good, my guy.
Marcel's obviously away doing celebrity things.
As you do.
Marcel gets like free reign of the world, like what, one Friday?
One premiere to the next. He just wakes up and it's full showbiz from 7 a.m.
Yeah,
until
but one Wednesday
nighttime.
Out of a month, innit?
That's it. That's all he's allowed to be, that showbiz, one Wednesday a month.
But yeah, you've stepped up once again. And
I'm here, guys.
Yeah, do you want a sort of future in presenting? Because you're good at it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I actually enjoy it. I don't look at it as work. I actually like to come in and contribute and, you know, just vibe.
If you could present any show, any show in existence, whether it's still on telly or not, what would you present?
That's a bad boy question, you know. I think, Celebrity Get Me Out of It. Like, that's just a jokes kind of vibe. It's not too serious.
Free trip to Oz.
Do you know what I'm saying? And they're just vibing. Ann and Deck obviously got the smashing, that kind of thing just works for them too. So,
but when they die.
Yeah, when they're done and gone.
Because that's the only time they're ever going to change. It's true, though. Without sounding morbid, that's the only time they're ever going to change the presenters of certain shows.
They will never go.
Ann and Deck will be there forever.
Do you think they'll get knighted? I think they'll get knighted soon.
Yeah. I think they might wait a while. Like they
too soon for Ann, isn't it?
And you can't just knight one of them. You can't.
Gotta do both.
You've got to do both. It's knighting Ant and Deck. There'll be Sir Ant and Deck. It won't be like Sir Ant and Deck. It'll be Sir Ant and Deck.
Yeah.
If they're not together, they're not.
They don't have surnames. I don't think.
Deck Donnelly. And
oh, okay. I didn't know. I just thought Ant and Deck. Ant and Deck.
That's fine.
Ant's surname is Ant Deck.
Poor Deck doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, it's Ant and Deck.
Yeah.
But we should catch up on what we've been up to, I guess. That's what we kind of do first.
Cool.
And also because you and Marcel tend to forget, and I have to remind them what they've done. But let's start with you, Michael Payne. Cut Patterns has been added to High Snobriety's Spotify playlist.
Yeah, man, I'm really happy with that, actually. Cut Patterns from the second album from me has been added to the High Snobriety playlist on Spotify. So if anyone listens to that and didn't know it was there, Now you know. Yeah, man. Music-wise, what are you listening to?
Listen to everything, you know. I was brought up on, like, ska and, like, reggae and R&B, slow jams to Lotion Girls.
Yeah.
That's literally all I did. From the ages of about 12 till 23 now, it's just Lotion Girls.
Right.
Is that automatically what you start doing when you're hearing R&B it. Now? That's always it. With a lot of Palmers.
When someone drops Pony Genuine in a club, no one's safe. No girl is safe. Whether she's taken or not, no one's safe.
That song's transcended, I think, because you can hear Pony at like a wedding.
You can. I think that's Magic
Mike
did that.
I'm
going
to walk down the aisle to it. And I'm going to probably nick a girl on the way down the aisle.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Do a bit of what's it called, dressage.
When Jack came in to do his takeover, I got very excited when he has an SWV track that you picked. Remember, we played it in the studio.
Was it Jamal?
I think it might have been Jamal on Fire Tomorrow.
What was it? What one was it?
Was it Week?
I'm trying to know. Yeah, I think, yeah. It was Week.
Yeah, you got the...
Let's have a look. Yeah, it was Week, yeah.
Week is a big tune.
Yeah, it was emotional just before the show.
There's a key change in that song.
Do you know it?
That's how well I know that song. Oh. There's a key change. The last hook when she just goes in and she just raises the...
Yeah,
bar. Takes him to church. She really takes him to church.
Jack, you...
Yes.
Because you just said that you've been to Ibiza twice. Once was not enough.
I literally flew in. This is the week I had last week, So I flew out to... I got told last second, you're going to Ibiza with JD, sponsorship thing.
Nice.
Go, enjoy it. I said, wicked, cool, free trip to Ibiza, why not? Yeah, got there, landed early, did what I needed to do, went out the night, come home to my hotel, then flew straight back to London, right? So from London, I got picked up, went to Reading. I done a PA in Reading. Straight from that PA at 3 a.m, went straight back to Gatwick, straight back to Ibiza.
Nice.
Wow. I mean, I can't complain, but I'm feeling it right now.
Because Ibiza takes that for many reasons.
Do you know what? I said to myself, you know, the second time I went in that week, I was like, it's going to be a chilled vibe. You know, I'm in Old Town. Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Oh, so is that where you were?
Okay.
Nice. Mature.
I'm going to see the yachts.
Yeah.
I'll go to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Meet a sweet one.
We're going to have some dinnies.
Lobster. I didn't eat, let alone have lobster. I just went graving. I was out clubbing, enjoying my vibes.
Fair play.
When in Ibiza?
Do you know what I mean?
When in Ibiza,
well, maybe you went to Ibiza to celebrate the fact that you've been nominated for Best Male Personality at the National Reality TV Awards.
Oh, congratulations, mate.
Yeah, guys. It was a good award ceremony, to be fair. I didn't win. But it was still... I still was humbled to be even
nominated, for real.
I'm saying, so it was...
Who were these other male personalities that were nominated?
Well, Jordan from Ibiza Weekend won it.
Right.
OB from Love Island this year. Tommy Fury from this year. Bobby Norris.
Oh, you're some strong.
Yeah. So Yeah, but it was not well.
Cool. I also saw something earlier about you are developing or moving towards a music career, which is what I read earlier.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I enjoy my music.
Do you want to do a freestyle today? We can get you on that.
No, do you know what?
I put rappers on the spot, innit?
Do you know what? I enjoy my music. You know what I'm saying? I've always enjoyed my music.
No,
from a young age.
Yeah.
So I used to sing when I was younger. So, you know, I'm not going to stay in one lane.
Sure.
You know, I want to try and just enjoy myself.
You've got your guy making the drink sort of
so I've also made with my manager as well, Simon Webb and his brother, we've made a drink, you know, guys.
When he gets drunk he might belt out a number or two.
Yeah, give him a few drinks and then it'll be up for a freestyle.
Yeah, we've made a, you know, the drink KA.
It's
kind of that kind of flavouring.
Yeah.
Similar. Like, it's a tropical kind of vibe, but with rum.
Oh,
yeah, it's a hard soft drink.
Yeah, it's a, do you know what, though? It tastes... There's three levels, right? So there's one that's, I think, like 2.5, 3% of alcohol, mm-hmm. and then there's one that's like 4.55, and then there's like the... You know, the XO, like the, you know, big boy drink,
okay.
which is 10.5. And listen.
Wow.
Couple of them and you're gone.
Yeah.
Because it just tastes good.
Yeah.
And you want to keep drinking it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It masks that kind of... Because alcohol is actually a really nasty taste, for me personally.
You haven't tried all the
flavors. Something that's super sweet, masking the taste of alcohol.
But it's doing really well. It's, you know, they've distributed it up north and it's doing really well.
Okay.
It's now coming down to these ends.
Yeah.
So it's all good. It's going really well.
How come up north first?
And because that's where it's originated from. That's where, you know, the team...
Drinking originated up north.
Yeah, drinking originated up in north now.
Yeah, and the team comes down south occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not known for our drinking in the south.
They invented drinking.
They did.
Yeah, the team is allocated up north, so it's been distributed there, and it's going really well.
Okay. I'm quite quite disappointed and surprised that you've got a can of ginger beer instead of your own merchandise.
I know, it's true.
I'm mainly disappointed because we don't get to taste it.
Well, I'll bring it in, man.
Okay, because we do a lot of drink tasting and food tasting on the show. We've had some nice stuff recently. We've had some of those prawn nuggets that we got.
Oh my god!
No,
lobster nuggets.
Oh, lobster nuggets. That's it. Right? Yeah, lobster nuggets. Delicious. Amazing.
We've had £15 for six,
but you know it's worth it. They are lobster.
Oh, but it's lobster.
Yeah.
We had some gin sent in recently, didn't we? Some glittery gin, that was nice. We've had some wine in cans we've been sent.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
All manner of things.
So
a rum-infused soft drink, in inverted commas.
A 10% soft drink, sounds good.
10.5, yeah.
10.5, sorry.
We want to start at the top.
What's top bins?
Do you know what I mean?
Well, we'll be trying it in the last half hour of the show, so I'm slurring through all the interviews.
Speaking of top bins, you're a keen footballer as well.
I love my ball, man.
Yeah.
I've loved my ball since I was like 3. I think I came up with my mum with shin pads on. Like, I just loved football from young age, and then, yeah, man, just went through. I had to choose between like boxing, performing arts, and football. And I went down the football route.
It's a vast. That's a nice spread, though. Good choice.
Yeah. I mean, boxing was good, and then my mum was like, "You've got to stop that because if you get banged out too many times,
can't do the drama.
You can't do your drama. You can't do modelling, whatever." So,
Mel Gibson apparently got his first role as Mad Max, I think, after coming from like a pub fight. His mate went to audition. I don't know if this is just hearsay, but apparently Mel Gibson was in the audience while his mate was auditioning for a role that he got because he was all fucked up from a bar fight the night before.
Yeah.
That could be complete bullshit.
But I like
sure
the story. That's
a good story.
And it also fits in well with the Mad Max character as well.
He probably said something anti-Semitic. Someone punched him out.
It was too early for him to be saying that on his first edition. He held it in.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
Right, so now it is a very exciting time for me on a personal level because, and I was just saying this just outside the studio to Glenn, that Glenn was my first big proper interview that I did on the radio.
I remember that was about 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago. No disrespect to all the new up and coming bands, but all due disrespect meant to them. You were the first sort of big person I had on. So now we've got you back.
Here I am again. Yeah.
Here we go. So it's been about 3 years in general. How have you been?
Been pretty busy doing this, that, and the other. I got back from Korea, right on the border of North and South Korea, and that was kind of interesting.
Was it? Did you feel any noticeable tension, or is it just like...
No, that was what was surprising about it. I mean, it's quite sobering when you get there. We went to the Communist Party headquarters where people got tortured and done away with. And the vibe there was kind of one of, maybe not of guarded, unbridled enthusiasm for the future. So,
okay, yeah. So some quiet optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And what sort of a reaction did you get in South Korea on the border? Because I literally can't imagine
good,
it. Yeah?
It was, what I did, I did a few sort of solo numbers, but I went to Seoul first and hooked up with a Korean band called Crying Nut, who were very good. And
okay.
So I learnt a couple of their songs, I learnt some of mine, they knew some Pistol songs. So
that's
we
great.
Did this kind of conglomerative set, and there was this other guy who got up, and a guy called Cha-Cha, who was great. He was like kind of Korean rockabilly pop star type, but played really good. It was just fun.
That's a smart move, and also something that, yeah, that would really endear you to him. That's really cool that you did that.
Yeah, and I think I was really kind of pleased that somebody from the West was showing interest in them, because they don't really know. They sort of feel isolated.
That was something that I felt. I went to see Iggy Pop and Queens of the Stone Age at Finsbury Park.
Right, and you know what I found out about that on Sunday? I would have gone if I had.
Well, but Iggy Pop was on, and then he's done an album which was produced by Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, and I just found it so bizarre. Iggy didn't play any of the songs from that album that Queens of the Stone Age sort of produced. And they never mentioned each other, and they didn't bring him back out. And I thought that was the whole purpose of it, was that they would have this kind of conglomerate. I know, but that's what I'm speculating. But
somebody might have eaten all Iggy sandwiches before he went on, and then he had the right hump.
Is that the sort of thing that would happen?
I don't know, mate, I'm just kind of supposing a little bit. But I actually saw him play about a year ago now, or early last year, at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
With Iggy and Josh Homme actually in the same band.
And that's what I thought we'd get a bit of.
Well, it was one of the top five gigs I've ever seen, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, I thought Iggy was amazing. That was the first time I'd seen him. And someone you've worked with, am I right in thinking?
I worked with him in 1979. I did a European tour, American tour. In fact, the first time I ever went to New York, I was playing with Iggy Pop, and that was an eye-opener.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. It was a bit of a different Iggy Pop back then. Or do you reckon he's exactly the same
now?
Not
really. I think he's always been stuck in his ways.
But I wanted to ask you, like, obviously, on your new record that you've got coming out, you've got Earl Slick, who worked on it, and then other massive people that you've worked with, like, obviously, Mick Jones, Primal Scream. Do you take any of... Not on this album, I'm saying in general.
No.
And so, do you take anything from those experiences into your singles work that you can think of, or do you think...
I think you can't... I don't know if it's something that you're totally 100% conscious of, but by working with people of a certain calibre, it rubs off somehow, and by osmosis, it just sort of gets, you know...
Gets under your skin.
Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah.
I think that although they are big names, they're kind of mates, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure you know loads of other DJs and things.
Yeah, some, yeah.
Well, I know some musicians, I don't know them all.
So, and we've probably touched on this, obviously, you joined Sex Pistols when you were 16...
16 going 17 or something.
What would you say is the main difference trying to make a record then to trying to make one now?
Well, there was a record business then, proper record companies who did proper record company kind of things. And we was fortunate enough to sign to EMI when they were a bit like the BBC, you know, they took a long time to get rolling, but when they did, they got rolling, except the only drag was, but then they sacked us. Once our record went straight in the charts at 27, that would just never happen today. Totally different. It's the same, but totally different.
It feels like everything now, because, like you say, there isn't a real tangible, almost record sales part of it, is that you always have to be out playing.
Yeah, I don't mind being out playing, it's just having the record, you know, knowing that everybody's doing their bit behind your back while you're going on to the next gig. I don't know, it just seems very kind of disparate now. And it was more concentrated before. And everybody's doing it, you know, now everybody's got a MacBook, everybody's a DJ, everybody's a video maker, everybody's a photographer, everybody's a musician. I'm going to tell them they ain't.
Well, that's why it's good to have a bit of prestige in the studio.
Yeah, maybe. Who's coming?
You. and me, actually. I've been here 3 years now.
I'm getting some.
Now, obviously, there's other members that you started out with of the Sex Pistols who aren't currently making music. What do you think it is that makes you want to keep going?
I don't know that they're not, actually. John's doing his public image thing. Paul's got his professionals band. They're out playing. They've got a new album out. And Steve Jones has got a radio show in Los Angeles. He does quite well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I think we're all
Stand corrected. So, same question, though. What keeps you going? Do you feel like you just, when you're not doing it, do you always feel the urge to create something?
Yeah, I get ideas for songs in my head, and then the thing is, they don't kind of go away. I mean, some that aren't that memorable go away, but the ones that don't go away, then it's time to pick up a guitar and do something about it. And before long, you got all these ideas for songs going around in your head, and you might as well record them. That's the only way to kind of clear your head out. And then you got an album's worth of stuff, so stick it out, which is what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I don't expect to be number one all around the world. It would be nice, but I think I'd be deluding myself. But it's a good calling card for gigs and...
Of course, and like you said, it's a great thing that people that have grown up with you have sort of come with you, which is a really nice thing. And
yeah, that's... Yeah. Hopefully, you know, that's the idea. I'm trying to write for people who've kind of grown up with my... kind of way of thinking a little bit, you know?
Yeah, of course. I really like Keep On Pushing, by the way. I think my one that I really love.
That was recorded a bit later, and that's got Chris Musto on drums. He'll be playing at a gig, but it's also got Chris Bedding on guitar on that one, I think. That's the
nice
one.
Yeah. I need to get you involved in a feature that we do on the show, Glenn. Basically, I'm going to ask you 4 questions, and then later on you're going to be judged just by these answers.
By you?
By me. So if you want to threaten me in between, then that's fine, and we'll make sure you win. But the prize...
I'm looking around for a blind instrument there.
Not worth winning.
Look, there's an empty mic stand there.
Yeah, sorry, I'm quite fast, so you have to be... So, the last time you went to the cinema, Glenn, and you maybe went up to the confectionery stand, what would you have ordered?
I would have probably had a coffee if they had one.
A coffee at the cinema?
Cappuccino, yeah, some places did it.
Yeah, all right.
I went to a place in France and they do a very nice café au lait.
Very nice, okay. No popcorn?
Not a popcorn kind of bloke.
No, all right, so that keeps you in good nick.
Maybe.
No confectionery.
Maybe, yeah. Right. In fact, I'm anti-popcorn because you sit there and then somebody behind you going crunch, crunch, crunch.
Well, mate...
I don't want to be that guy.
Mate, no, if you go for the dinner package at the Boysdale Club, do not sit there munching loudly Glenn's on.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit more kind of sloppy kind of food.
Yeah, I think it might be. If you was to open up your own shop on the high street, what would it sell?
Well, actually, I was thinking about opening a cafe. There's a place came around the corner for me, and since I spend a lot of time in coffee bars, I thought I might as well have my own one, and it would be like a proper... British calf, but with decent cappuccino, and I even had a name for it.
Go on.
Humble Pie.
Humble Pie.
Because I'm a big fan of the band Humble Pie.
All right.
And I would be eating Humble Pie by having my own calf at this age, but you could do a tray of pie, you know, like school dinners, you know, when it's divided.
Well, you just cut it up and
smash
it out.
Yeah,
or
like on the ferry, yeah. That's kind of...
And how likely is that... Do you reckon?
Nil.
When you said you were thinking about it,
there was a lease going on a place around the corner from me.
And is it gone now?
I've missed it.
I was going to say, we could have done a live show. Everything.
Could have done. How many? Humble Pie.
Now, you talked about this just now. Everyone's doing all the music on the laptop and stuff. Do you have a laptop, Glenn?
I do, but...
How old is it?
It's an old one. It's a bit too heavy to lug around. But I've got... What's not iTunes? What's it called?
Garage Band
on it and stuff. And I did have Logic on it, but it's kind of disappeared somehow. And up one of those little holes I have and the thing.
Yeah.
In the ether.
So how old... Because basically, the reason I'm asking you is because on the show we've been talking about... No, I've got a laptop. And I reckon I've got the oldest laptop out of anyone I know.
How old is it?
It's 10 years old. Front of the screen's missing, it's just a sort of like bit of glass,
right.
And I can't now take it from my kitchen table, so if you pick it up it just turns off.
Cling film.
What's that? Well, I mean, I know what that... What do you mean, cling film?
Well, if you put it over the glass,
yeah,
is it the glass that's cracked?
No, it just keeps turning off, so if I pick it up, like the edging's come off. But I just want to know if anyone's got an older laptop than me.
No, but you've put me at that one.
Yeah. And finally, last question in Best Guest. Last time you went to a restaurant for dinner,
yeah,
what did you have?
I had fish and chips last night.
Nice.
Yeah,
just the one course?
Just the one course.
One course cod and
chips. Last night and the night before, fish. I've rather read at it, but I would have had to wait. And it's good to wait sometimes because it comes out fresher.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be bothered to wait. So I settled for the cod. It was all right.
Okay. Wherever you saw Glenn Matlock last night eating fish and chips, it was only all right. But we won't name the place. If your answers end up being the best answers, you will win something from the imaginary prize cupboard, Glenn. So you can have anything
imaginary
you want,
prize.
But it is imaginary. So if you win, what would you like?
Oh, I'd like an imaginary extra couple of hours in bed.
All right.
We can
imagine that up for you.
Right.
So, Glenn, thank you so much for coming back in.
Thanks
it's always a pleasure to see
been.
You. Thanks so much for coming in and seeing us.
Back Row and Chill on Fubar Radio.
So we've got Quentin Aaron.
Don't lie, my G.
Quentin.
How are you?
Hello.
Quentin, my G. What's happening, brother?
What's going on, man? What's going on? How are you? Big fan.
What? You of me? Shut up, man. I'm a big fan. Come on,
we're
G.
big fans
Come
of
on,
you.
G. Yeah. For real.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How's it treating you in Glasgow? Because that shit be cold, you know. Us black people, we have to be careful of the cold because they be trying to kill us in Scotland. So just, you know,
you
talk
know,
to
it's
me.
Funny, though. I'm a rarity. I'm probably the only black person I know that loves the cold. So I'm enjoying this weather right now.
We're about to fall out. I'm about to get on the train and come up there and knock some sense into you. How can you be talking that you like the cold?
I'm from New York.
All right. Yeah, I know it can be cold in New York, too. It can be cold. But you get them good summers, though. You get those good summers.
So we're here to talk about your new film, which is called Halfway. And people might know you before. They'll definitely know you before from The Blind Side.
Boom, yes.
So we just want to talk a little bit about Halfway, the new film.
Well, you know, we're actors, so we know it's new to the world. But you shot this, like, what, a year ago?
Almost 2.5 years ago.
Wow, yeah. Oh, wow. Sometimes films take a while.
It's in the pipeline.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so tell us about the movie, and then let's talk about it, because I enjoyed it myself. I'm a big fan of how you got up with them cows. I don't be dealing with animals, man. Especially animals that can't train, like dogs and stuff like that. And cows, when that cow was sucking your fingers, I was like, oh, he's going to lose his hand or something. But
it's basically a film that came about from a director who's actually from London, Ben Carrot. He wrote it, and it was originally about a young British kid who was just out of water coming into Wisconsin.
Yeah.
To live on his family farm, but he wanted to change that aspect of it and make it more relatable to today's society and the social injustice what's going on in the prison system and today with minorities going to prison for repeated crimes and stuff. So, you know, about the recidivism issue. And so Halfway kind of speaks on that, and in the sense where it takes the story of Byron, who was recently released from prison.
Yeah.
And it follows his life through his life on the farm.
Yeah.
He's the fish out of water, you know, in a sense where he's doing his probation out on the family farm, and it's totally outside of his element.
Yeah, and it's his step, like, it's his stepbrother's farm, right? Stepbrother in the
farm.
Yeah,
exactly. His stepbrother got him out of prison, the favor he had to return, you know, by, you
Working
know, his due diligence on the farm. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a story about choices. I like to put it in that sense because everything we do in life is based off the choices that we make.
That's right.
And Byron was presented with the opportunity to either make a better man of himself or go back into his usual ways and possibly land back in prison.
I think it's a beautiful film. Like, I watched the whole thing. For me, it was a real subtle movie. Today's movies is like you sit down, you put on your mad glasses, and it's explosions and everything. So it's always good to see a character-driven movie. And I mean, I got to tell you, man, I've seen a few of your things, and obviously everyone's like, Blindside. But this performance was good. I'm talking like, they're all like, Case Manchester by the Sea. But your subtle performance in this was some good shit, brother. I got to tell you, like,
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Was good. You're right, it is about choices, but it was interesting for me to see that, you know, the director chose to go that way because it added a new dynamic. Like when you meet the old man from the other farm.
That was my favorite.
You know, without giving too much away to the audience.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Jeffrey DeMond is an amazing actor, amazing talent, and just really cool guy, you know. Fun to be around on set. Definitely, he's one of my favorite characters to work with.
But it speaks about also, you know, you have the young guys being overtly racist to your character or being quite rude, but then even the guy that is really supportive and really friendly has that sort of ignorant racism, not in a bad way, but like he's calling you colored when he doesn't know that it's not acceptable anymore. And it's like it speaks about society, about the way people are treated, and even if it's not intentionally, and how there needs to be more awareness about this whole thing. And I thought it was a really good by the director and writer,
because your character Byron he's the only black farmer in the area, or becomes the only black farmer. And I gotta say, you're becoming like the king of
living with white people,
living with white families.
You're the king. Byron, like, the king of living with white folks.
Like, again? He's got another...
Too funny. I accept that.
Yeah.
I like to think I can get along with anyone.
Yeah.
People person.
Maybe that's like your film niche. Like every family in your film, they're
I'm
just all white.
You, man, you got to just be like up in the white people's house living the... Listen, talk to me about these cows, bro. You got to talk to me about these cows.
Oh, man, the cows are awesome. It's funny because when they were teaching me how to milk them, they said you have to talk to them. You have to walk up. You talk to them and rub their behind. So I was like, okay. So it's
like a woman.
Pretty much like you. Yeah, exactly.
That's how my wife do me, bro. That's how my wife do me. She milk it and she rub my behind and talk to me in my ears.
It was awesome, man. It was definitely an experience. The calves were hilarious, man. Yeah. The way they just suck on your finger. It was funny, the first day one of them almost took my ring. I was like, whoa, I'm going to need that back.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Yeah, the baby one that got out was cute. I was like, how's he touching these cows, right? Man? And then the one that got out, I was like, okay, that one's cute. You know, I could live with that. And then he started sucking your fingers. I mean, just for the audience know, obviously the film's not about cows, but it's a really touching movie about this character who comes out on parole and ends up on his stepbrother's farm. And then, of course, realizes that the stepbrother is not as genuine as we believed, but we don't want to give too much away. But, I mean, I really want our listeners and everyone to see this film. I want to tell you, my brother, that you were brilliant in the movie. And again, once again, subverting and defying people's expectations of what we're supposed to do, man. I loved it.
Appreciate that. Thank you, man. Definitely.
And how long are you going to be over in the UK?
Sunday, I will be going down to London for a few days.
Nigga, listen! We're in London, boy. You better come check
We're in London.
Okay.
I love how this has just turned into a casualty.
Well, we brothers, man. Black people have to stick together, man. Because you whitey's always trying to kill us and shit. And like that's what we, you know, we're brothers. You feel me, bro? I know you feel me. I know you have to be PC.
Exactly.
You got to be PC. I don't have to be PC. It's my show. I don't know what the fuck I want.
I feel you.
The Jack Mate Show on Fubar Radio.
Guys, you're still listening to the Jack Mate Show. Now, obviously, we're all big football fans, aren't we, Will?
Yes, we are.
Aren't we, Tom?
Yes, indeed.
But our knowledge of the game doesn't stretch that far. So I thought, why not get someone, one of the biggest footballing minds around, why not get him on the show?
Oh,
but unfortunately, Marcus Speller wasn't about. So here's Luke Moore. Luke?
That's a dig.
Oh, very good.
What are you up to, mate, apart from this?
Just sitting around in my house in my tracksuit bottom.
Lovely stuff. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
I think we're as confused as you are about what this whole thing is. We're kind of just running with it, mate.
Cool, that's exactly how the football ramble starts. So I feel your trepidation and pain.
Lovely stuff. I'm here with Tom, by the way. He's my co-host. Say hello to him, Tom.
Hello, Luke.
Tom's a bit shy.
Hello, Tom.
I'm an avid listener. Listen to the one you released today as well. On the train.
Very kind. You can't be shy if you're on the radio.
I'm not shy. I'm full of vigour. When you get down to it, full of vigour.
Good. You should see someone about that.
Now, Tom actually introduced me to the Ramble, didn't you, Tom?
Yep.
And I am a big fan. You're a Pompey fan. You're a pompous person, aren't you?
I am a pompous man. Yes.
And you also support Portsmouth. Is this right?
Those two things are correct and not mutually exclusive.
My first question to you, mate, this is going to kind of be a bit of an interview, really, just picking your brain for football knowledge. Yeah. Does that fit well with you?
Yeah, I mean, as long as the people listening actually know who I am, that's fine. I mean, it might be a bit confusing to them otherwise, but yeah, but if you're convinced they know who I am.
They know
fine,
who you are. We've been bigging you up all show, mate.
Great stuff. Which goes crack on.
So basically, I was just going to ask, obviously Pompey, I hope you don't mind me saying, have had a bit of a demise over the recent years. And what would you say is probably the main factor for this? Why is this?
Well, we don't tend to talk about Portsmouth on the radio when we do radio stuff because we're not allowed to swear usually.
Oh, okay.
So it becomes very difficult.
Feel free now, uncensored.
Is it really?
Yeah. Uncensored.
They're just a fucking nightmare. I can't remember the question now, but if it was something generally about Portsmouth being bad, then yes, I agree they are bad. Mm. I think they're doing better this season, though. I mean, they're only a few points off the top of League Two.
Okay.
So they could feasibly get promoted this year. Depends on consistency. It's such a hard league, 46 games in League Two, as you guys probably know, so it's a bit of a long old slog, and there's a lot of games around Christmas, which is difficult.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how we get on. But the budget at Portsmouth is big for League Two. It's fan-owned now, so there's a nice community spirit around the club, and people, I think, are a lot more optimistic than they have been in many a year, and that's as important as anything else, really. So, there's reason to be positive. The problem is, as well, though, is that because Portsmouth are clearly a team that are bigger than League Two generally, the stadium is bigger and all that other stuff, they're seen as a bit of a scalp. So when teams come to Fratton Park to play them, they're really up for it, you know what I mean? So every game becomes a bit of a challenge for Portsmouth. It's a bit like Man United in the 90s.
Right. Just showing off, trying to use it as
terrible football.
Do you think there's a way back to the big league for them then, would you say?
I actually was asked, I mean, as you guys probably know, I do a show on US radio on Thursday nights, and I was asked that by a listener on last night, in fact.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually think Portsmouth will get back to the Premier League, and I don't really think they should either. I think that their level is probably Championship. And they can't really get to the Premier League without hugely leveraging themselves again, but I don't think they should do it. Of course, if they can do a bit of a...
Well, it's actually difficult to say, because if you take into account that the smaller teams who have gone up to the Premier League, they tend to be funded by wealthy individuals, whereas Portsmouth are fan-owned now, and there's absolutely no appetite down the south coast for them to sell out to a big wealthy owner. So with the exception of Swansea, I can't even really think of another team that have done the big Premier League thing without a big wealthy owner that isn't traditionally one of the bigger clubs in the country. So I don't see that happening for Portsmouth. I think Championship's fine. Championship's a great league. It's really entertaining. But you're a West Ham fan, aren't you, Jack? So you probably know all about the Championship.
But Portsmouth,
the difference between West Ham and Portsmouth, mate, is that Portsmouth will be happy in the Championship.
Yeah, true. Well, I remember Portsmouth used to always seem to beat West Ham around Christmas time, around Boxing Day, I think it was. I think I'm right in saying that. About 5 or 6 seasons ago, when you were up there, you just seemed to always do a job on West Ham.
I've blocked those glory years out of my mind now. I'm sure you're right.
Present.
I can't remember it.
Live in the present.
Yeah, do you have a second team in the Premier League then, or someone you just like to see
really
do well?
No, I feel like one of the things about doing the Football Ramble is when we first started out, we could do whatever we wanted and no one really cared. But now we've actually got quite a lot of listeners. I always get accused of liking certain teams, not liking others. So I have to try and keep my powder dry on that front. So I don't really have a second team, no. I think that I go through phases of liking teams for different reasons, and then it sort of drops away again. Like a couple of years ago, I quite liked Liverpool for the way they were playing under Rodgers. I've always been a big admirer of Man United because of the way they were so dominant when I was growing up watching football. But not really. I don't really have vested interest in anyone outside of Portsmouth, to be honest. And I think that's a good thing, because it means you can be unbiased when you're talking about the Premier League each week.
You could probably tell by my thick accent I support Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, mate.
Yeah, it's tough. On the predictions today, because you obviously weren't predicting the Sunday, what do you think Newcastle are going to do against Norwich without Mr. Cruel?
Yeah, that's a big blow for them, isn't it, losing Tim Cruel? It really is. I think Norwich have shown a lot more than Newcastle have this season, and Newcastle's organisation is terrible. I think for a team who were managed by a guy who's such a well-respected coach, and all joking aside about McLaren, I mean, he was in a bit of a difficult situation. He wasn't realistically going to turn down the England job, and then he became a bit of a laughing stock and had to go away and sort of regroup. But as a coach, he's well respected throughout the game. So it's funny to see them so disorganised, because you can imagine there's a difference in role between coach and manager, and it might be one of respect and all that other stuff, but organisation on the pitch, McLaren should be good at that, so that's worrying.
Yeah,
I think they're in real trouble, I really do. Norwich have shown a lot more than they have so far this season, but if you're going to get your season up and running, it's probably going to be against a promoted side, so fingers crossed for you they can do that.
We'll see. I'm not holding my breath.
Well, you've asked Luke about Newcastle. I feel it fitting to ask about West Ham. Luke, what conclusion would you come to for why West Ham seem to have such contrasting results home and away?
Probably to do, it's difficult to say, because I haven't seen every single minute of every single game they've played this season, because that would be impossible. Yeah. But from what I've seen, it looks like the usual thing. So there's not as much pressure. West Ham fans can be a bit funny. The crowd there can be difficult, as you probably know better than me.
There's
not as much pressure. Also, you can play on the counter-attack and really get teams to bring it to you and then hit them when on the break if you want to away from home, especially against the big teams. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I actually think they've been quite lucky.
Right.
I think Liverpool aside, who Liverpool weren't out of the races at all, and West Ham did a good job there. And I think against Liverpool, they started really early, didn't they?
Liverpool
found it difficult to recover, and clearly they were a team in a bit of a transition because they've now got rid of their manager. Aside from that, I think they've been a bit lucky, really. And I don't think, because I was worried for West Ham before the season started. I think he clearly got his strengths, and he's clearly a talented guy, but I do want to sort of reserve judgment on him until West Ham go through a bit of a sticky patch, because I think he's a sort of character that might all fall down if that happens.
Fair play.
And it will happen at some point.
Who do you think will be the next manager to go?
I think it probably will be Tim Sherwood, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think he'll be off. I said at the beginning, I think I said last season.
Yeah, that's a prediction.
He'd be lucky to get through the end of November, and I still think that. I think, you know, it's such a high-stakes game this weekend at Stamford Bridge for Aston Villa. I said it yesterday on the show. I think it's the most important game of the season so far for the two teams involved. But I can't think of a bigger game so far in the context of the season, because we're only 8 games in. And I think it's an opportunity for both managers, but I just think that with the experience Mourinho's got and the players he's got at his disposal, I think Sherwood's really floundering at the moment. I do. I think he's changing formation a lot. He's banging out formations that he hasn't even used before halfway through games, and that's never good to see from a casual observer's point of view. And they get beaten by Chelsea, fair enough. They probably won't get hammered for that, but if they get beat 5 or 6, then they're in real trouble. So I think it'll probably be him.
Fair play. Our producer Will's absolutely loving that, aren't you, Will? Because you're
I'm a big Birmingham fan, Luke. So actually, I would like to see him go, actually, because he's that shit. So
I know what it's like being a fan of a club who aren't doing as well compared to their rivals. It's sort of the only glory you can grasp onto.
We're just seeing them demise every week, but as long as they don't take Gary Rowett off, which is a similar move to McLeish, I'll be very happy.
I don't know who they'll get next. But the thing is, one of the things that's not often picked up on in the old Premier League game is that a lot of the managers being dismissed and sacked or not can sort of depend on who else is available. And now Brendan Rodgers is not going to be out of work long, and so I can imagine Aston Villa quite fancy Brendan Rodgers. I mean, they've got American owners and all that stuff, so it could be the demise of Sherwood it could be the availability of Rodgers that means the demise of tactics Tim.
Luke, you know your stuff, don't you?
I talk a good game.
So what we want to know now, well, this is an argument we've been having in the studio recently. My friend Tom, to the left of me right now, he made this ridiculous claim last week, and we're just going to play it to you, and we want to hear your opinions afterwards. So let's go to this, Will.
I used to score goals in the right goal.
Oh,
300 goals from Melbourne Youth.
How many?
300. 20 goals in 4 games I scored.
This is
it's not even a lie. This is like under 13s. I was banging them in.
I'll see you next week.
I was banging them in.
What do you reckon of that, Luke?
Someone else talks a good game, obviously.
300 goals.
I was just a machine. What can I say?
So this is like when you hear about Robbie Fowler and Michael Owen and Ian Rush when they were kids, like breaking that record for that boys' team in Liverpool.
Well, Luke, am I my team? That's the thing. And like, I was going to say this earlier, but a certain someone used to play for my team before me who was on the trophy that I won one of those years.
Who?
One of the most handsome footballers you'll ever know, Luke Chadwick.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he played for Melbourne Youth, and apparently he used to score 100 goals a season.
So what part of the country is this?
It's near Cambridgeshire. It's just on the outskirts. So that's why Luke's saying now. Luke Chadwick's giving it the big one about playing for Cambridge United. He's like, oh, it's better than playing in the Champions League. It's like, is it, Luke?
Who are you playing for at the moment then?
Me.
Yeah, go on. Who are you playing for, Tom? Yeah, go on.
Just mainly online.
It's a growing market. Don't want to get in there early.
The thing is, when you said one of the most attractive footballers, my brain started automatically trying to think
Giroud.
Of attractive footballers. I thought of Vladimir Spicer.
I thought Francesco Totti.
That's a good shout. Ian Boltzmann.
We're joined now by Kadeem Ramsey in the studio. Hello there.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, you're branded.
Oh, yeah, you see this on my chest?
Yeah, you're branded.
Top Boy.
So we're talking about Top Boy,
I didn't see that.
Which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear.
Well, why not?
Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
Yeah.
Look, you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's nice. I just like wearing it.
Nice hoodie.
Who was it? I interviewed Hope from Top Boy.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. We found out afterwards it was his first interview you'd ever done.
Yeah, it was afterwards.
Is that right?
It was. In fact, he was so good.
It was a little boy.
Well,
I've ever been a little boy.
It was funny because it was just before it had was starting and we were coming onto Netflix and we were talking about it from that perspective and I was like, things are going to be quite different for you. Because it's obviously going to be so huge. It's a huge show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And has that happened with him?
Oh, yeah. I imagine it has changed for you, too, as well, could do,
yeah,
right?
But you know what it is, though? I'm not seeing too much yet because I've not really been out in public like that yet.
Right, okay.
Like, I literally just came out from Amsterdam on Friday.
Okay.
Ah. But the love there is mad. Like, I never expected
Was that for promo? Were you doing promo over there? Or was it just for holiday?
I just went for, you know, Little Sims?
Yeah?
Yeah, she had a show.
Okay.
And she plays Shelly.
She's great in it. She's great,
man. Big up Little Sims, man. Yeah, she just said, if you don't want to come to the show, come. So I was like, okay.
Of course, yeah.
Nice.
3 days off, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
So what Nat does from time to time is she starts watching somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Not always, I even watch it.
And then she exploits her position as a producer in order to meet everyone from it.
Well, hold on. When you say I watch it, I have done Call the Midwife, and I've yet to see a single episode of that. But for some bizarre reason, I booked about 55 cast members from Call the Midwife on the show, and I don't really know why.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And it was like every week. And again, I'll say this again, as I always say.
They were all lovely.
They were all really lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Great fun to be around, all the rest of it. But I was just going, this is like getting weird now. That, like, I'm having everybody in this studio from Call the Midwife.
IMDb, just went through IMDb. It was like, who's ever been on Call the Midwife? I don't know why I did that. I had a year of madness there, I think.
Expecting crew at some point.
Yeah.
I'd come in and be a boom operator.
What's that called, Call the Midwife?
It's on BBC. Yeah, it's BBC. I mean, I don't know, so I've not seen it.
I think I've seen it.
Have you been? I thought you were saying I've been in it. I was like, yes, another one. Another person from Call the Midwife.
I've seen the name, but I've not seen the show before.
I think it's pretty huge, I think. I've never seen it, but I think it's a pretty huge
show. Oh, it is huge. It's got a Christmas Day special, but I think I'm a completist, Kadeem. So once I start with one cast member, I have to follow through on every single person on the show, and I've clearly gone to Top Boy now as well.
Yeah.
But I've seen Top Boy, so I can talk about
it. I mean, can we make Kadeem feel welcome rather than make Kadeem feel like...
I am welcome.
You are welcome.
Rather than make him feel like it's some sort of challenge to get him on it.
You are my second one, which you can look at being my second favourite character, and if we look at it that way...
That's true.
So if anything, it's an honour.
Or second favourite character. Or second favourite character that you could get...
No.
Could be that,
couldn't it? Why are you trying to make him
feel like
that?
Don't see Ashley Wallace coming in here at any
point
soon,
do you? I've not asked Ashley to come in here. Do you know what? I've not even asked Ashley. No, I haven't. No, I'm not going to do that.
I told you I worked with him years ago.
Oh, on what?
I told you I did that thing with him and Ron Moody.
We did a
read-through
thing. Yeah, that was it.
He's a nice man.
And then we talked... You're a nice man, but we also didn't remember he didn't get the part, did you?
No, there was no part. It never got made.
Oh, that was it.
There was no part.
That was that. I remember now with Hope, we had this entire conversation. And you said to pass
do you ever
on.
Feel like you don't really need to be here?
He
walked in and gone, how was the radio? Well, it's a bit weird. It was just the presenter and the producer had a row, and then I went.
What type of shows or films do you like to watch?
You know what? The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
Stay home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.